The first reading for the third Sunday of Easter is from Acts chapter 9. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus, and for 3 days he was without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias," and he said, "Here I am, Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine, to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. For some days he was with the disciples at Damascus, and immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogue, saying, "He is the Son of God." And all who heard him were amazed and said, "Is not this the man who made havoc in Jerusalem of those who called upon this name? And has he not come here for this purpose, to bring them bound before the chief priests?" But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from the Revelation to St. John, chapter 5. Then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered, so that he can open the scroll and its 7 seals. And between the throne and the 4 living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing, as though it had been slain, with 7 horns and with 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the 4 living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, each holding a harp, the golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, Amen. And the elders fell down and worshipped. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 21st chapter. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. He revealed himself in this way. And Simon Peter, called Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of the disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. And they said to him, We will go with you. Then they went out and got into the boat. But that night they caught nothing. And just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to them, Children, do you have any fish? They answered, No. And he said to them, Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast it. And now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved, therefore, said to Peter, It is the Lord. And when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and he threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from land, about 100 yards off. And when they got on land, they saw charcoal fire in a place with fish laid out on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, Bring me some of the fish that you have just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. And Jesus said to them, Come and have breakfast. Now none of the disciples dared ask him, Who are you? They knew it was the Lord. So Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This is now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When he had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, Then feed my lambs. He said to Peter a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, Tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, Do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. After that, he said, Follow me. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In Bible study, I shared with the folks that way back in 1999, somebody came knocking at my door, and I looked up and said, Come in. He said, Nope, don't want to. Then he said, I have a question to ask you, and depended upon your answer, I'm either going to turn around and walk away, or I'm going to come and ask to come in and sit with you for a while. Ask away, I said. He asked me, How much do you preach on the book of Revelation? And I said, Not a lot. And he said, Can I come in and sit down? And he did. He shared with me that his pastor had been preaching on the book of Revelation for the entire year. It was kind of later in 1999. And his pastor was going through Revelation blow by blow by blow, pointing to this and that event, this and that person, and said, Jesus is coming back in the year 2000. Do you remember the Y2K activity going on during that time? I shared that I actually saw a guy on the television, one of the Bible prophets, pointing to all those things. Probably was sometime in the fall, saying to me and to anybody else listening, you need to get my books, you need to get my tapes, so that you know what's coming in the year 2000. And I thought to myself, that's a couple, 3 months away. I don't need your books, and I don't need your tapes. So I have not preached on the book of Revelation a lot. In fact, our church body, we have a three-year series, A series, B series, C series. And it is in the C series during the season of Easter, where we are right now, that for 7 weeks in a row, we do have a reading from the book of Revelation. Thought Pastor was going to be gone for a little while, and I was going to put together a series. We look forward to him having surgery and getting back with us after that, but he'll be back in the saddle next week, and then we'll pick up from there. So a few things I want to talk about with regard to numbers. I'll get to those in a minute. 30 times in the book of Revelation, Jesus Christ is referred to as the Lamb of God. Of course, you remember John the Baptist pointed to Jesus when he was walking near the Jordan River and said, hey, there's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The Lamb of God is indeed the heart of all Scripture, the heart of Revelation, as we're talking about in a minute. Indeed, the Lamb of God is the heart of all human history. And before we consider the Lamb of God in the glories of heaven in Revelation chapter 5, let me take you back to Revelation chapter 1. We read that last week. The Lamb of God appeared to John and gave to him the entire content of Revelation. I think it's appropriate to say that Jesus is the divine author, indeed of all Scripture, but Revelation as we talk about it today. And if you will, John was the one that wrote stuff down on a piece of paper. And we read that Jesus directed John to write a letter to seven churches in Asia Minor, that would be current-day Turkey. And in the end, that is exactly what John did. That number seven was literal, at least at that particular point. And you could read Revelation chapters 2 and 3 for all the detail that was written to those churches. I'll just summarize them this way. Bottom line, Jesus had something to share with them. You're doing some good things. Thank you. And you're doing some bad things. Repent and turn away from those. I tell people, and in fact I did this yesterday to a lady who I saw at a funeral, looking for a church home, invited her to go to Grace in Lafayette, which is where I was pastor. And I told her, as I've said to many people, if you ever find a perfect church, do not join it because you will ruin it. Because we are sinful, imperfect human beings. I've also run into at least one couple that I can think of. In Lafayette, we had off at Greater Lafayette area, we had four Lutheran churches. They started out when they came to Lafayette at Grace, where I was at. Didn't like it there. Went to St. James Lutheran Church downtown. Didn't like it there. Went to University Lutheran in West Lafayette, didn't like it there, came back to Grace, went back to St. James, and I would suggest to you the right words to share with somebody like that is, if you're looking for the perfect church and don't find it, look in the mirror. The problem might just happen to be you. And that is true for some people, church hoppers. Back to the seven churches. The number seven is mentioned 36 times in the book of Revelation. And seven is a symbolic number conveying wholeness, completeness, perfection. And all of Revelation is to be understood as a divine letter to the whole number of churches throughout the ages until Jesus comes again. So that means the book of Revelation is a letter written to you and I here at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church. Long ago, I was told that we might have to hear something at least 7 times before we remember it. From the 7 churches in Asia Minor, I want to move to the 7 scenes of Revelation. I don't have time to go into the detail of the handout that's before you. You might want to take a peek at that later on. But indeed, Revelation has 7 different scenes. And the 7 different scenes are not linear. That means it's not blow by blow by blow by blow by blow, as some would preach and teach it. But it is circular. That means 7 times in the 22 chapters of Revelation, the same thing or the same time period is covered. And what is that time period? The time period between the first coming of Jesus and the second coming of Jesus at the end of the ages. Or put another way, it is the time period between Christmas Day, Good Friday, and Easter Sunday, and Judgment Day. I would suggest to you that it is impossible to understand the book of Revelation without understanding how it is structured in this kind of way. We call the time between the first coming of Jesus and the second coming of Jesus the last days. So if somebody says to you, we're living in the last days, you go, yeah, I know that. It's the time period between Christmas and Judgment Day, the last days. I've already shared with you that many high profile Bible prophets have gotten rich off of misteaching the book of Revelation, false doctrine, saying that it is primarily only about end time events. Didn't really have hardly anything to do with John and his people writing it back in 95 AD, or perhaps even us living in 2025. It is really meant for those people living in the last decades before the return of Jesus. As I've said, do you remember the Y2K scare or hysteria 25 years ago? Here we are, 25 years later. And if you would go to the internet and do some searches, you could find some people saying that Jesus is coming back in 2025. That is not what the book of Revelation should be used for. The book of Revelation is a letter of comfort to Christians who live in every age between the first coming of Jesus and his second coming. I'd like to go back again to last week's reading to give you that bracket again with regard to the first and second coming. John, writing to the churches, says, grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come. By the way, that would be God the Father. He then continues, also from the 7 spirits who are bethoned before the throne of God. 7 is a symbolic number, naming the fullness of divinity in the Holy Spirit. And from God the Son, Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. And John goes on, behold, the Son of God is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and people from all tribes of earth will weep and wail on account of seeing him and his return. Even so, John says, amen. I'd like to reword John's words this way. Jesus was born on Christmas to live a perfect life in our place. Jesus was born on Christmas to die in our place on the cross of Calvary on Good Friday. Jesus was born on Christmas to rise on Easter Sunday. He was born to ascend back into heaven, where he sits at the right hand of the Father, which we'll confess in a little bit. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. It is true, sadly true, that those who do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior will weep and wail when they truly find out firsthand that without saving faith in Jesus, they were eternally condemned and damned. Not so those who have saving faith in Jesus. The eternal resting place of our souls through faith in Jesus is glories of heaven. And we get a picture, a little peek into heaven in our chapter from 5 today, Revelation, kind of summarizing God the Father sitting on his throne, and he has a scroll in his hand. The scroll was sealed with 7 seals. And there is no one worthy on earth to break the seals and open the scroll to be read. This causes great sorrow, and there's lots of crying. Tears are flowing. Someone says, wait, dry up your tears. Jesus, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Jesus, the root of King David. Jesus, the Lamb of God, slain by crucifixion, but now resurrected, is worthy to take the scroll and open those 7 seals. And then there was a song in heaven. Worthy are you to take the scroll and open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you have paid the ransom for people from every tribe, language, and nation. You have made us a kingdom of priests for our God, and we shall reign with you forever. The victory of Jesus is our victory. And as we begin to close, I want to offer you one verse from Revelation to memorize. Just one verse. Revelation 17, verse 14. And a long time ago, when that guy knocked at my door and came in and sat down, I shared this verse with him. And I said, if you want to know what Revelation is all about, here it is, bottom line. They, meaning all who oppose the gospel of Jesus Christ, meaning all those who oppose us as Christians here on earth, they will make war on the Lamb. But the Lamb will conquer them all. For he is King of kings and Lord of lords. And those who are with him are called chosen and faithful and will remain with him forever. If you don't want to go that much energy into memorizing the passage, just remember Revelation 17, 14 this way. The Lamb wins, and so do we. The Lamb wins, and so do we. So I say to you, little flock, this morning, living in the last days before judgment day that will come, have no fear. Know that through faith in Jesus Christ, you are loved by God and forgiven on your way to heaven. And the truth of the matter is, Revelation does say between Christmas and Judgment Day, you and I, as we live in this world, are going to experience all kinds of trials and tribulations. And I know in my number of years of life, there have been many trials and tribulations. And I'm sure for most of you who've been around for a while, the same is true for you as well. But have no fear, little flock, in the midst of all the hurt, the pain, the suffering, the sorrow. You and I are on our way to heaven through faith in Jesus. The Lamb of God wins, and so do we. In his name, amen. And by the way, I want it in this way. Alleluia, Christ is risen. Risen indeed. Alleluia, amen.